It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. This is what we got if you want to talk about it. We've got the Mets winning the game. We've got the Yankees winning the game. We've got the Knicks not having a coach and making a pick tonight. We've got the Nets doing something that is unprecedented in basketball, having five first-round picks in the same draft and selecting all of those five players. And, you know, Evan had a discussion about this on the air yesterday about, you know, what they were going to do with this. And are they going to package it and move up? Are they going to package it and trade for a big player? They're going to select all five, you know, use all five draft picks. And, you know, when he was talking about them doing that, he sounded like he thought it was a real possibility. When I'm listening, I'm thinking, he's nuts. There's no way they're taking five guys in the same draft. That's insane. They're definitely packaging this thing up. They're going to move up, and they might move up and grab one of the Rutgers. Well, not more Ace Bailey than Dylan Harper, because Dylan Harper was pretty much slotted to go to San Antonio. They're going to move up, and they're going to take Ace Bailey.
You know what's amazing to me is that there was all this talk about Giannis, and we haven't heard hide nor hair of that.
Nothing. You know what? We've really lost. Like, the NBA needs Woj back. Because Shams is someone who does a good job, but he's not Woj. And Woj used to put out a lot more stuff.
Yes.
Even when it wasn't going on, like wasn't official.
Woj was the Schefter of the NBA.
Yeah, right. I mean, and he was like one of the best to ever do it. So it's, and then of course he ends up leaving because the St. Bonaventure general manager of the athletic department. But it's not the same. Like, because like it was almost as if, because Woj knew that everybody was interested in Giannis, even if it was a small piece of information, you know, like Giannis camp leaning towards staying in Milwaukee or something like that.
Yeah.
And he would put it out there and it would be a discussion piece. You got, with the Knicks head coach and the Giannis thing,
there's been nothing.
It's just been, they're going to interview this assistant. Oh, this. Have you heard hell or high water about Tom Thibodeau's feelings on what the hell happened?
Nothing.
Have you heard what the Knicks are? I guess Stephon Bondy wrote about the things that the league is hearing about what the Knicks want in a head coach. It's just basically everything a head coach does. I read McMonagle reading off these things this morning. It's everything a head coach. They're looking for someone to develop young players, to make in-game adjustments, to use the entire bench, and to use a rotation. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Crap.
Yes,
it's what every head coach does in the league. But yeah, there's not as much off-season juice, I think, ever since Woj.
Right, and that's why I thought the NBA draft last night, as everybody knew, Cooper Flagg and Harper were going to go 1 and 2. Then after that, that's when, you know, Ace Bailey fell a little bit, and, you know, not much, but he's still a top-10 pick, and he's going to Utah, and then all of a sudden there are discussions, is this one of the teams that he did not want to go to, and this is why he didn't do any interviews. Like the fact that he didn't do any of his is really shocking to me, unless he really did not want to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't know. Why would you not want to go there? Like, Dave.
Well, why not?
Well, but I mean, as far as organizations that you could go to, I mean, I feel like they've got.
That would have been close to home, too, for him.
Yeah, I mean, they've got good ownership. They're always going to try, they're always going to spend the money. I understand they're in a weird place with Joel Embiid and his knees and how, if he's ever going to be himself again, but I feel like that's an organization that's always going to try to win. And like, you'd rather be in Utah than in Philly?
I don't know. You know, the one thing for me is that Danny Ainge knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, and they're trying to rebuild. And they're, by the way, they're trying. Again, this is the hottest thing that I got out of last night, was the fact that maybe Utah is trying to trade for Jaylen Brown. And that means, what are the Celtics doing?
Well, that would be a full breakdown if they did that. I mean, depending on
they've lost two key players with big contracts, Drew Holiday and, of course, Porzingis.
Yeah.
So now, if they trade Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's not coming back.
Well, that you're talking about a rebuild in that situation.
Yeah, and here's the other thing I don't understand about the NBA. Maybe you can help me understand this, and I know.
I probably won't.
No, I mean,
because it's so confusing.
You know how these players and their contracts and their contract extensions are tied to whether they make the All-NBA first team, the All-NBA defensive first team. You know how that kind of breaks down?
Sure.
it doesn't seem to jive with what the aprons and the luxury taxes are. Like, if a player makes all first team NBA, mm-hmm. or he's on the all defensive team, there are contract escalators that they can achieve.
Sure.
And if you have a number of those guys on your team, like the Knicks have now, the contract extensions have already been signed by, you know, Jalen got his new contract. And then, of course, Karl-Anthony Towns has his contract from Minnesota that he brought with him. But if you have young guys that are making those teams, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of money they're going to make, it basically forces teams, either like the Golden State Warriors, up into that, what is it, the third apron or whatever the hell it is, just by trying to keep their teams together.
Yeah.
Like, to me, none of that stuff really makes any sense. I know the guys are getting paid for being all NBA, but if you have a couple of them on your team, there's no way that you can afford them.
Yeah, it's right, and that's when Jerry said yesterday, is like what you're describing is a system that sounds broken. And there's a few teams out there that just go for it and just pay a massive tax bill. And there's other teams like the Boston Celtics that are maneuvering things and saying, okay, you know, we can't keep this guy, we can't keep that guy. You know, and this is off, you know, 2 years ago, more like last year, you know, they win a championship and then they come back, you know, Tatum gets hurt, but they were still a very, very good team.
And by the way, they get sold for $6.1 billion.
And that may have something to do with it, too.
I mean, the new owners are like, wait a minute, but the new owners had to know.
Of course.
By the way, the new owners bought the basketball team. It didn't come with the TD Garden.
That's right.
It's just kind of like what happened with Mark Walter and Jeannie Buss. He just bought the Lakers. That's it.
Yeah.
For $10 billion.
That's insane. That is insane. I would have thought that the, you know, whatever is crypto.com arena would have come with it, Staples Center.
I'm just like, so what is Jim Dolling sitting on?
Well, Leon Rose's head, I think, is what he's sitting on right now. Yeah, I don't, I know. I mean, we talked about it, you know, upwards of, I mean, $20 billion to start. When you're talking two teams and the building, I think that's the starting discussion. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wild time. But once again, as you're illustrating, if the Celtics continue to trade away pieces, you know what's going on with the Pacers. You know what's going on. I mean, the Cavaliers should come back relatively strong again, but...
So there's no way right now, the way the Celtics are built, what they've lost in Jason Tatum and what they've lost with the two guys that they traded, who, like, you know, Porzingis did not play good against the Knicks. He was sick throughout the playoffs, so that was a whole... And plus, his jersey was in the freezer. But those two guys now, those three guys, I mean, that is a significant drop-off.
Yeah.
I know they still have good players. But that is a major, major drop-off.
Well, I mean, if they trade Jaylen Brown, then they're just basically saying that we're going to punt this year, we're going to wait for Jason Tatum to get healthy, and we're going to build around him and have a new version of this team that we hope can get back
right,
to the finals.
Right, so 26-27 would be when the Celtics would get back involved, because that's when Jason Tatum should be ready to go.
Yeah. That's if they end up trading Jalen Brown.
And by the way, you know, speaking of Jason Tatum, speaking of all these Achilles injuries, you saw Nick Van Exel and what he said?
I did not.
So Nick Van Exel is basically saying that all these Achilles injuries are happening because the players are not wearing high-top sneakers anymore.
Hmm.
And, I personally think it is I just think the game has changed drastically, and it's an up-and-down game. It's a fast game. And any sort of calf injury is going to lead to an Achilles injury, which we've spoken about many times in the show. And these injuries that happen in the playoffs, you know, happen because the guys want to play and they want to be out there. If they have a calf injury in January, guess what? You're not going to see them until the end of March.
I mean, does Nick Van Exel have any backing to this
theory? I think a lot of people do believe it. I'm just saying what he felt. I mean, he was a former player.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's not. Is he also, you know, an anatomy guy? Is he an orthopedic guy? Is he, you know, like
an anatomy guy?
Is he an anatomy guy?
All right, let me see if Nick Van Exel is an anatomy guy. No, I don't think he is. I think he's just a basketball.
Like every sneaker they wear still covers the back of your heel. Does it not? It's not like they're wearing Hey Dudes out there, which are very comfortable, by the way.
Right. Let me see. Nick Van Exel almost died during a practice with the Lakers. Yeah.
So did Jordan Poole when Draymond Green punched him in the face.
Right.
But that was with
there
the
you
Warriors.
Go. Former Lakers star Nick Van Exel blames NBA Achilles epidemic on sneaker trend. There you go.
Okay. But it's, I understand. We've established that. Yeah. Does he have any? Is there any statistical backing? Or is this just like Nick Van Exel talks out of his ass and we have nothing else to write about?
I don't know if he was talking out of his ass or not, but I'm just telling you, a former NBA player thinks that that has something to do with it. But I would also say to that, I don't know if NBA players do this. I know we as football players did it. We always had our ankles taped.
Yeah, I don't think they tape their ankles unless they're hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I understand what you're saying.
I don't think they do that. Restricting motion, maybe, for a basketball player. Different type of deal.
I don't know. Football players need their feet just as much as basketball players do, if not more.
Yeah, I don't think they taped. I don't know. I have no idea. You know what?
Did you have your ankles taped?
Sure. I thought I was going to play in JV. When I played, I get those ankles taped.
You would get them taped.
Yeah,
shave your ankles?
No.
They didn't have the pre-tape back then.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Oh, 100%.
We had to shave our ankles.
No.
We were men.
No, that pre-tape was the greatest, softest thing.
We were men shaving our ankles.
Yeah.
And then they would put the little spray on.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that. You got to remember, my equipment manager, the guy who was doing all that stuff.
He's with the Eagles now, yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a trainer. He was an equipment manager.
But he had everything. See, if the trainer was like, you know, should get some of that pre-tape, he would have found it. And he would have been on top of it. That's a good thing for the players. Let me talk to the trainer about it.
You're 20 years younger than me, yeah. So
we had all that stuff. Yep. What are you talking about?
Soft.
Oh, hell no, we were not. Are you kidding me? We did the double sessions back then still. We would practice. We would hit like every day but Friday.
Yeah, so that's how you get tough.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I told you, I really do believe that things change. Like the 20 years in between when you played on East Islip and I played on Bellport were similar. Much more similar to the 20 years from when I played to like 2020.
Yes, yes.
I think a lot of stuff changed after that. Like concussions were not a thing.
No,
when I played.
I played with a suspension helmet in ninth grade.
Yeah, it was one time. It was a three-way scrimmage we had before the season.
So it was Kimbra Johnson, Emmanuel.
Yeah, but that was not a concussion thing.
A drill. You got smacked.
And it was the Oklahoma drill. I did. That's when I got my wind knocked out of me. I'm talking about a different one. So it was.
You're going to have a concussion getting a wind knocked out of you.
But I did not. Let me tell this story here. Let me get it out of my mouth, please. So it was a three-way scrimmage against Hop Hog, and I was jawing with this guy, whatever. And then as I walk away, he did a cheap shot move, and he pushed me from behind. And I went like head first into the ground. Like, and then I was like, and I got up, and like, I swear, everything was green. Everything, the whole world was green. And I'm like, so then I like run off the field sideways, you know, and I'm laughing about it. It's really not. It's a serious thing these days. But I was like running off the field like bent.
We've all been there, man.
And then I remember Coach Bauman. He's like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?" And then I turn around and said, "I don't effing know, okay, Coach. I don't know. Everything's green. Get off my ass." He never let me live that down. Every day after. You going to yell at me today, G, huh? You going to scream in my face?
So you were chirping another guy from Patch Hog.
No. It was Hop Hog.
Oh, actually. Hop Hog. You were chirping a Hop Hog guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because okay. I thought he was dirty. I thought he was holding.
He was yelling at, "Hey, I saw you playing a cello in the band."
No. He wasn't yelling at. No, I thought he was playing dirty. And then he was.
Of course he was.
And then he was. And then he pushed me from behind.
Of course he was.
He said, "That's dirty. Take that."
Much bigger than me. Chris in Smithtown, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Just wanted to ask you guys, if Vientos projected to come back today or tomorrow, who do you think they're going to send down, Mauricio or Jared Young? I feel like Jared Young is the new slimmer version of DJ Stewart and Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Young stinks, and he shouldn't be on the team, you know, and it would be a shame for Mauricio, especially off of last night, but, you know, I don't. Like, Jared Jones is 29 years old. Like, the option situation is something that I'm not familiar with Jared Young. But, I mean, he's also plays predominantly, he plays more outfield. I don't know. I hope it's not Mauricio. I really don't, but there's a good chance because he's still so young and still has a gazillion options and all that stuff that it's probably going to end up being.
And that's why they do, you know, that's why they did it with Alvarez. That's why they did it with Acuna.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to do it. They're going to go send these guys up and back. And by the way, you know, we didn't talk about this yesterday, but Alvarez did get benched in his first game. Now, they're saying he may have gotten hurt. And other people are speculating that he wasn't hustling down the first baseline, which means get your head out of your ass, son.
Mm.
And if you want to come back up to the bigs, you got to show us that you want it.
Yeah, which was, we just got done talking about how effort was never an issue with him.
And then you wonder, I don't know, you know, like,
is so he sulking?
Well, he could be. That's a human thing. And he is, you know, he's a baseball player and he has a little humble pie that he's got to eat right now and maybe stop eating a little bit.
Yeah.
Lose some weight.
Yeah.
Get a little quicker.
He's in shape. He's just built that way. He's a catcher built.
Yeah, I know, but I think he's a. It's a little chubster, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, he said. Okay, I don't see it that way. I don't think.
Oh, I do.
I don't think he's a little chubster.
I think he's he's got the catcher's lower half. I think he's got to lose some weight.
Okay.
I'm not saying a lot of weight. I'm maybe 7 to 10 pounds. Some sloppy ass drunk is.
No,
he's not that.
No, he's not.
That's Luke.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. While we were away, Boomer read me the entire Nick Van Exel article on how he believes the shoes had something to do with the Achilles injury.
So, man, the boys are wearing lows. Where are the mids and where are the highs?
I brought that up to Jerry when I went to that one Rutgers game like 2 years ago. I said, Jerry, none of these guys are wearing high tops.
See?
Haven't in a long time.
What?
Even Al knows.
You don't have to be blind not to know.
Yeah, but he's saying Boomer, I think, is co-signing this shoe opinion of Nick Van Exel.
Well,
that's what's leading to Achilles.
NBA career.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it really, when you're talking about an Achilles injury, if he's talking about how to run the point, I could understand that. Shooting, yes. But Achilles injuries?
Kendall Gill agrees with him.
There we go.
God. Give me a break. He also was talking about, while you were reading me that 6-minute article, he said in there that he was talking about cover them ankles, boys, is one of the things you said. It's like, it's not your ankle. That is if you want to tell me that the high tops are going to help you roll in your ankle, okay, I can understand that. But the Achilles tendon doesn't make sense to me. I'm against Nick Van Exel on this one. Against him.
I'm just bringing an alternative view, that's all.
And
sorry, this is why America is so great. We can have a difference of opinion. What?
No.
Rebecca Lobo says you can't say that.
Difference of opinion's fine. Yeah,
yeah. That's why America's great. We can have a difference of opinion.
Watch
You're a
out.
Pig. Will you say something else there, Jerry?
Sure.
I guess not. You were about to say something.
I don't remember.
Shoes.
Three. Two, shoes.
One.
I don't remember.
All right. This update with Jerry also has a moment of the day attached to it. What's going on, Jerry?
If I remembered, yeah. We'll get back to the basketball in a moment. We'll do the baseball quickly as the Mets and the Yankees actually had a good night on the same night. And it's been a couple of weeks since we can say that because things have gone quite terribly. We'll start in Cincinnati with the Yankees and the Reds. The Bombers looking to avoid the sweep, and they were able to put together enough offense to do just that.
Pitch. Swung on a rocket down into the left field corner. DJ's going to walk home. Grisham in high speed. He's coming around the third. Going to get the stop sign. And a first RBI since June 10th for the captain. Aaron Judge rings the bell. It's 5-1 Yankees.
Notice what he said there. A little John Minko influence. He rings the bell.
I ring the bell.
Yeah, I thought that was
kind of
Dave Sims with the call on the Fan. Yankees wind up winning 7-1. Judge the RBI double, but you had an RBI single from Trent Grisham. Jazz Chisholm with a 2-run homer in the third, and Jason Dominguez a 4-hit night. Here was Grisham with Susan, relieved that you guys avoided the sweep?
No, it's not a sigh of relief. There's no panic here. We're having good at-bats, putting it together. We just understand that we're not going to win every game, and things are not always going to go our way. Bounces aren't going to go our way. Breaks are not going to go our way. Calls are not going to go our way, but our job is to remain steady, keep putting together good at-bats, and go from
and
there.
I like
the... he's got one of those things in his mouth when you go to the dentist that sucks out the saliva.
Relief. You're right. I really did think Jawbreaker from back in the day, because we would try and talk with those things in our mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually how it sounded.
I mean, unbelievable. The Jawbreakers. God.
The little Jawbreakers. Remember those?
Yeah, but I meant the bigger ones. But yes, yeah. I do remember those as well.
You like putting a big Jawbreaker in your mouth?
Is that a penis joke?
No. I was just asking him a question.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. It wasn't for you to answer. I was looking at him.
I don't know, but Jerry stopped. He was looking at me, and I was like,
I don't know where to go with that.
Jerry was interpreting it as a penis joke, and he didn't want to say anything, so that's why I was asking.
Well, yeah. Well, that's all he and Al talk about.
That's not true. That is not true at all. Matter of fact, what we talked about yesterday, would you say? There was no penis yesterday.
No penis talk. Nope. Testicles, we talk.
See? Hey, you're right. He was having... Yes, that's true. Go ahead. All right.
Never mind. Sorry.
I was going to say, Al was talking about having trouble with his testicle sticking to his thigh. So yeah. That was part of the conversation.
There was some guy, I don't know if you guys brought this up, you see that hurdler somewhere and like some, it was something important when it came to track and field. And both his penis and balls came out of his shorts while he was going over the hurdles. Now, I did not, they blurred out the video, but this poor, I mean, it must have been really bad because the blur spot was huge. He's going over the hurdle and all of a sudden, bloop. There you go. And he won.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. How close was he to the hurdle when he went over it?
I think he was going to clip it.
Yes.
No, he got... You know what? It might have helped him thinking about it, right?
He's like, my God, I don't want to hit this on that.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Hit him jump higher.
Yeah.
You don't want to scrape your schwanz against the hurdle? Sounds horrible.
It was...
that happens, obviously.
What? I don't know what happens, obviously.
And you're running up,
I'm just saying,
if you're him and it happens, you know it's happening. You got to feel it happening.
Yeah.
So when it gets loose. Yes.
Yeah.
It's running loose. And you just got to keep you going. You just got to keep going. You can't stop.
Serious question then. If you're running, you're telling me he's not wearing like compression underwear to keep everything tight?
This guy was not.
Well, how is that not? Wouldn't that hurt? If everything's flapping around as you're running and jumping like that?
I guess whatever makes him comfortable. You know, I'm going to try to... I think I'm pretty sure it was TMZ Sports. I'm going to...
Well, how could that be comfortable?
To each his own type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. Yeah, U.S. sprinter Chris Robinson wardrobe malfunction. Junk falls out on live TV. That's awkward.
Let me ask you a question.
U.S. sprinter Chris Robinson experienced a wardrobe malfunction. The old Frank and Bean slipped out of his shorts in the middle of a race. despite the X-rated accident, Robinson wasn't deterred, still crossing the finish line in first place.
Wow. What kind of uniform do they wear?
Wow.
Wow.
He's just got regular shorts.
You are aware you're on live TV, right, sir?
Frank and Beans! I'm just wondering exactly what the hell kind of shorts was he wearing?
So, like, the guy next to him, he's got, like, those compression shorts.
Right.
But he's just got, like, regular short shorts that are, he's got a tank top on. You can Google it, Chris Robinson, right. Frank and Beans.
You guys did the whole thinking back to the fast food stuff. If I say we wear short shorts, what commercial is that from?
Nair?
We wear short shorts.
I thought it was from Nair.
I don't remember. Yeah, I agree, yes.
Yeah.
Probably right.
We wear short shorts.
Dun, 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 dun. That's all I remember. But that was a big commercial back in the day.
There's a lot of that going on these days.
What? Is it another penis joke? I'm so confused.
What's going on?
I kind of need to see this thing without the blur. See how they got out of there. You know?
You're looking for the unedited, unblurred video?
Yeah, I just wouldn't, because now,
check the dark web, G. No idea. Oh, man. Yankees open up a weekend series against the A's tomorrow night. They remain, a game in front of Tampa? He found it.
ridiculous.
Didn't take you long to find it either.
It's horrible. It's way funnier than I thought. Way funnier than I thought. He's flying. He's running because it's in slow motion. And it's like,
you want to see it?
Take a look here. I think it'll start over the video.
All right, while you check out the junk, I will give you a Juan Soto home run when the Mets beat the Braves last night.
Swing and a drive. Deep right center field. Harris back. This one is gone.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto gives the Mets the lead right back after Atlanta had just tied it in the top of the fourth. 9 home runs in the month of June for Soto.
He would hit another home run, and the Mets beat the Braves 7-3.
He was trying to put it back in, too. Oh, my God.
Tough situation for that poor fella.
Yeah.
Not Juan Soto, but your sprinter. Here was Soto, happy to break out. This was on SNY.
You know, we've been trying our best out there. You know, we have a tough stretch, but whatever. We're just coming out to compete every day and forget about what has been happening in the past. So I think that's what it keeps us motivated.
And really like a full circle moment as he's talking about coming out. And then you've got Dickie Lovelady was DFA'd.
Ah, too bad.
How about that? So his stay was, what kind of paycheck? Was he get a check for like 3 days?
Yeah, I would think so. Whatever he's got a minor salary or a low salary and probably gets a couple thousand, $3,000.
Well, whatever the major league salary
minimum
is, right?
Based on
the
days and he was there. He'll fly him wherever he's going.
DFA'd. We hardly knew you there, Rich. Series finale tonight. Griffin Canning does make the start on Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10. Also of note, you've got Evan and Tiki doing their show live from Citi Field in the Cadillac Club today. Their guest at 3:15 will be one Pete Alonso, who will stop by. All right, we've got Cooper Flagg, number one pick in the NBA draft. We know that. Dylan Harper goes 2 to San Antonio. Ace Bailey went 5 to Utah. We did play these earlier, a couple of issues that ESPN did have along the way. First, a little confused on a draft pick.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
To which he did post, I'm big in Portland these days on social media. So he had some fun with that. And also, they had an issue trying to figure out who Cooper Flagg was, who Ace Bailey was, and who Dylan Harper was.
Welcome back to SportsCenter. You're looking at Cooper Flagg, and in just over an hour from now, that is not Cooper Flagg at all, actually. That is quite famously Ace Bailey. There's Cooper Flagg. I was going to say, a lot of... No, that's not him either. That's not Cooper Flagg.
As the camera was panning up, feet... Starting at the feet and then going up. So they had a couple of issues, as you would say. The Nets did, well, they had 5 first-round draft picks, and damn it, they used them all. They took BYU guard Yegor Demon, okay, at number 8. Number 19, a French guard, Nolan Traore. North Carolina's Drake Powell at 22. Israeli guard Ben Saraf at 26. And Michigan's Danny Wolf to round out their 5 picks. This was Nico Harrison. He was asked about Jason Kidd and the rumors that are out there about Kidd wanting New York and the Knicks trying to get him. And
since it keeps being asked, since the rumors are still out there, just wanted to see if you can conclusively say that J. Kidd is going to be the head coach next season.
Are there rumors still out there about J. Kidd?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. I thought I shut him down. Yes, he will be the coach next year.
Now, a lot of opinions, as you can imagine, about how the Knicks have gone about their business here. Andy Miller is an agent for Clutch Sports. He was on with Isola and Scalabrini. This was talking about Kidd, the Knicks. Who knows?
With regard to Jason, I don't really know where Jason is in his process with the Knicks because I don't really know what the process is with the Knicks. Not because I don't know, because I don't even know if the Knicks know what their process is. So it's really hard to tell.
And he was another one talking about how they don't seem like they have a plan knew what the plan was when they went into this and that it was a knee-jerk reaction to fire.
So you think it's a knee-jerk reaction from Jim Dolan that basically just threw the whole front office into like a panic mode?
Well, he didn't say Jim Dolan, but he said the Knicks' knee-jerk reaction to fire Tibbs.
I can't imagine Leon Rose firing a former client of his after his client has had as much success as he has had with the Knicks that got him. So when Leon Rose hires Thibodeau, he does it for a reason. He knows that he's going to be an attention to detail guy. He's going to be a defensive guy, and he's going to help him build a new culture of accountability within the Knicks. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that Leon Rose is firing him is if one of the players or two of the players basically said to him, you know, we don't like playing for Tibbs, or they said something that Jim Dolan heard and he looked over at Leon Rose and said, get rid of him and let's look for a new guy. Because that's what it feels like.
That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to bring Tibbs back.
They're not bringing Tibbs back. The only answer.
They are planning to interview Pelicans associate coach James Borrego for their vacant job. The Buccaneers signed coach Todd Bowles and GM Jason Light to multi-year contract extension. So you do have
celebrate
that.
Celebrate, come out.
Oh, speaking of celebrate, you know what this is? So this is your guys, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Cameron Payne. It looks like they're in Mykonos. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Mykonos.
They're
yeah.
in that island, and it looks like celebrating someone's marriage. So they're having themselves a hell of a time. Look kind of fun, actually. So good for them.
Somebody's marriage. We don't know who's married.
I do not know. That was not posted. It was just that here's what these guys are up to. And I only know a marriage because someone had a sign that said happy honeymoon.
Okay.
That's all we knew. So who knows?
All right.
Moment of the day. We did hear from Mavs GM Nico Harrison. We just heard the full clip right now. And the Jason Kidd to the Knicks rumor brought up. And then it went into a different direction with G.
Yes, he will be the coach next year.
We'll see.
Oh, there you go. What do you mean, we'll see?
I mean, because people keep writing that he's still the guy that the Knicks want and think they're going
to
get.
The Knicks have nothing to give them to get Jason Kidd here.
I agree with
and
you.
And Gio and I were having this discussion this morning earlier about if Jason Kidd comes here, who has the most power in the organization at that point?
Well, other than Jim Dolan, probably Jason Kidd. I mean, he's a superstar former player, a really good head coach. You went out and traded for him. Right. How much you wanted him here, he gets a lot of power.
And you think, Rick Brunson and the fellas want that?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Nico Harrison will probably, in the middle of the night, trade Jason Kidd to the Lakers for a pair of Genie Buss's panties.
There you go. Line of the day. Moment of the day. Call it what you want. Enjoy your... What's today? Thursday?
Yeah, and Al, right after that, was looking on Craigslist to see if there was a pair of Genie Buss's panties out there that was available that he could see. Yeah. All right.
Were there?
No comment.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
So, you know, again, we were talking about the Knicks coaching search and everything, and nobody really knows anything. Nobody really knows what's going on. And, you know, initially when all this stuff started, I was thinking, if you remember, what happens to the assistant coaching staff, all those guys? Because they didn't fire those guys.
No.
They only fired Tibbs. That's all we know. There was no other announcement other than we're going for a championship. That's our ultimate goal, and that's a goal, obviously, I'm glad that they have. And that's why I would think, man, you got to have somebody with some experience as a head coach. Are you going to bring in a guy that was an assistant coach somewhere that has not been a head coach yet?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, we talked about that right away. And at this point, Mike Brown is someone who has been a head coach. Taylor Jenkins is a guy who's been a head coach, and James Borrego is a guy who's been a head coach. The only one that they have interviewed, and I guess Johnny Bryant's not an option, the only guy that they have interviewed that has not had that experience is Mike Anori off the Timberwolves staff.
Who may have a relationship that's good with Carl Anthony Towns, and I guess you said possibly Jalen Brunson.
Well, he was there when Jalen Brunson was there.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there for Jalen Brunson's last year.
So maybe I mean, Rick Brunson is...
No. Hold on. He was there when Towns was there. He was not there. He was not working in Dallas when Brunson was there. So no, I don't think so.
So I would think that Leon Rose has, obviously has relationships with all the agents of the players. And actually his son is an agent for the player. I guess Jalen's, I don't know, is it Carl Anthony Towns' agent? I'm not sure. But anyway, the point being is that he has a direct line to the players through the agents, whether it be his son or the other agents that are representing the other players. So unless those agents were complaining or gave Leon Rose some information about some dissatisfaction that the players had with the coach, I just don't see how Leon Rose is making this decision.
You're saying you don't think making the decision to fire Tibbs or making the decision to hire the next guy?
No, making the decision to fire
Tibbs.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, I mean, I initially thought that James Dolan would have left himself out of it. That was my original take. But the way that all of this has unfolded since, it's hard to say that it was a Leon Rose decision.
It's a really weird thing that's going on. At least on the Ranger side of things, I can kind of see what they're trying to do. And it makes, you know, whether they end up signing the right guys or trading the other guy, you know, what other guys they trade or assets they trade, you know, that's yet to be seen. At least I know what they're doing with the coaching staff. I know what they're doing, you know, with trying to retool the team and trying to make the team tougher. I can see that. You know, their draft is coming up on Saturday. They gave up their first-round pick, but their assets are players that they have under these shorter-term contracts, and they're younger players that maybe other teams would be interested in. Maybe they get back into the draft.
Yeah. I mean, and as you mentioned, you know, if James Hagans doesn't get taken by the Islanders, which is unlikely, you know, maybe he ends up on the Rangers. That'd be one hell of a story growing up an Islander fan. Who knows? There'd be some intrigue there for sure in the NHL draft. But yeah, I mean, it was clear. But this is why it also feels more like Dolan, is because with the Rangers situation, like, agree or disagree, there's been a clear, concise
deal. We're getting the coach. Here's the coach. Here's right. Who the coach is going to be. We're going to trade Chris Kreider. We may trade Keandre Miller if we can get enough assets back for him. We may try to get back up into the first round. Like, I can see that's all unfolding in front of me.
Yeah.
And I could have said the same thing about the Islanders that I'm saying about the Knicks now, because they waited to hire a general manager. And the general manager obviously must have a relationship with the head coach, and they kept the head coach. So I see where the Islanders are trying to move now, and plus they have the first overall pick, and they'll have their draft party at UBS on Saturday, and you know they'll probably most likely take this kid Schaefer and move on from there. And then it comes down to, are they trading any assets, or are they keeping all of the assets that they have that are tradable right now? And that's at least you could see that as a fan. You may not like what they do, or you may love what they do, but at least you can see what they're trying to do. Right here with the Knicks, I'm assuming the seven guys that played most of the time last year are staying. So now you're talking about the bottom half of the roster that they're going to fiddle with. And they're going to have to bring a coach in here that's going to be able to lead this team to, I think, an opportunity of a lifetime to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, given what's going on in the Eastern Conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, the NBA Finals, too, for that matter. So, yeah, it's a weird one, and if they don't have a coach going into free agency, that's going to look really bad. Like, it's one thing to not have a coach when you're picking 20th in the second round. It's another thing to go into free agency and not have a coach.
If I had to ask you right now, after last night's draft, who is the most improved team in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, most improved
who's the team that, you know, I mean, is... You know, Cleveland lost a player. Indiana lost a significant player. Boston has lost
Atlanta
players.
Atlanta maybe getting Porzingis if he's healthy. I mean,
this is the window right now for the Knicks.
Yeah,
and maybe the window was this year included, but this like these next two or three years, this has got to be the time. If they're going to win a championship, it's got to be now.
Well, and that's probably what drove Dolan, if we believe Dolan to be the one who got rid of Tibbs, that's probably what drove him to it. It's like, we can't, he'd be doing the same stuff, hearing the same things, same issues, lost to the same team twice, the window is open, we can't do the same thing again and expect the same result. And not expect the same result, rather. So, we got to do something different. Maybe that's where it came from.
All right. Well.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying that. I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah, that's where it came from, where it's like, hey, this is a huge opportunity for us. And if we come back with the same team and expect different results, that's stupid.
And you're going to have a coach coming in here and absorbing this coaching staff? Or is that coach going to be able to bring in his own coaching staff?
Well, I mean, I think.
Because how could you trust anybody on this coaching staff? Maybe you have friends on the coaching staff, maybe you know them. But how could you trust them to do what you want to do as the head coach? I'm like, this thing, it feels like whoever the head coach is going to be is going to be neutered.
Oh, of course, already. I mean, there's no two ways about it, especially if the free agency happens and there's no coach. Because then, like, there's no collaboration. Because basically then the GM is telling you what type of game he wants the team to play, what type of identity he wants the team to have without the coach having any input on it. Because he's saying, these are the players that we have, and you got to figure it out with this. So go for it. But it's really the roster construction that dictates the way that a team plays.
Man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of these internal meetings with these candidates. It'd be amazing just to listen to some of the questions. And you know, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with playing time and, you know, rotational way of, you know, getting more players on the court, more playing time for different players. But again, I think you also have to have a coach that has some relationship with NBA players that they're going to want to add to this roster. Don't you think? I mean, this guy fits my system. That guy fits my system. I can make my system work with these guys. I don't know. It's really, I mean, it's maddening, actually.
It's one of these things that I said before. I mean, because it's going on with the Knicks and it's the NBA, which is a little quirky to begin with. If you were to take this same situation and put it in the NFL world, all we would talk about is how the team was so stupid. Like, that they would fire their head coach and start asking around the league for the best head coaches that are under contract is insane. And then to go into a draft without a head coach and potentially free agency without a head coach. If that were an NFL team, we would be screaming to the high heavens. It's the dumbest thing we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, well, to me, like the NFL, well, I would also say hockey. I think all three of those sports have systems that guys coach and that are good at coaching certain types of systems. And you hope that that coach and that system is going to fit the roster that you have. Baseball doesn't, you know, managing is completely different.
Yeah.
Than the coaches of those three sports.